How to dance with demons and a god in your pocket. The spirit of the depth spoke to me and said, to understand an idea is a bridge and also the possibility of finding the path. To explain an idea is arbitrary and even sometimes lethal for the idea. Have you not counted the murderers among your scholars? Now, the spirit of the time stepped forward and laid before me a huge volume that contained all of my ideas explained in writing. The spirit of the time spoke and said, your ideas are full of madness. So you see, I cannot reconcile these voices inside of myself. I often feel the need to escape, to hide myself behind the highest and coldest star. I try to order my thinking, to tell my ideas to be quiet. But those unruly hounds, they will not come and lie at my feet. How can I ever hope to hear my soul's voice, to be consoled by it, when I'm tormented with a mind full of howling ideas? Perhaps the spirit of the times does speak the truth, and our only choice is a form of madness that opens a door to communicating with the soul. So, what do I have to lose? I'll release those howling hounds from their leashes, and I'll follow them into the dark of the night in search of my soul. So it was I sat at my desk that night, having these thoughts. The inner voices of my unconscious and my conscious mind arguing with each other. And so it was I allowed myself to put away ideas and just drop down, down, down into the unconscious, into a starless, cold winter's night I came. It was so dark I could not see. The only way I could find my way, there was a rut, a frozen rut in the soil, in the earth, made by a wagon passing along this trail. And so literally, at times, crawling on my hands and feet, being able to find this path, I followed it for many hours until I saw a light in the distance. Now that light drew me toward itself. I made my way until I could see there was a building, a castle, an old, small castle. I went up to the door of the castle, and I knocked. I waited, no answer came. The snow had started to fall, and the cold, I pulled my coat around myself. Shivering, I knocked again. Finally, the door opened and there stood a man. A man who was dressed as a servant, but from a time long past. The man had only four words. What is your need? I said, a night's lodging, if it pleases the master of the castle. Without a word more, he led me through a dark vestibule and up a set of worn stairs to a large hall-like room with plain white walls and sparse furnishings. It was poorly lighted, having only several candles. From the high-ceiling room, I followed the man into a smaller room that was furnished with proper chairs and wall hangings, but also poorly lighted. It seemed a kind of waiting room. At a door, he knocked. And then he opened it. Without speaking, he motioned for me to go in. I did as he directed, and I found myself entering a study. It looked like the study of a scholar. The walls were lined with books, and in the center of the room there was a large desk. And sure enough, there was an old man wearing a long black robe of a scholar seated behind the desk. He was busy writing on a parchment that I could not see. The scholar's shoulders were rounded and bent forward, I imagine from long years of hard work at his desk. The thought occurred to me that he was a man who had literally squashed himself by the weight of his knowledge. For a long time, I was silent. The man, intent on his writing, did not look at me. Finally, he paused in his writing and spoke without meeting my eyes. "What do you want?" This cold greeting made me hesitant and nervous. I fidgeted about on my feet, then spoke. "If it pleases you, kind sir, a night's lodging away from the cold and snow of the forest." The man did not respond, but went straight back to his writing. Finally, after another few minutes, he looked up from his work and said, "You're still here? Ah, there's a room for you down the hallway. Now be gone." I must tell you that I lingered an extra moment longer, as I both wished to engage that scholar in conversation and at the same time pondered the reality of living alone in the forest with only your work as company. Finally, I turned to the servant, and he led me out of the room and down a dark hallway, there to another room, smaller, much smaller. It was plain white walls, as in the large room, but there was a bed and a single candle to light the room. The servant nodded without a word, and I went in. He did not follow me. Quietly he closed the door, and I heard his footsteps retreating down the hallway. I was exhausted from my journey through the forest, and the night's chill had penetrated the old castle's wall. I undressed and climbed into the bed without extinguishing the candle for fear of the dark. You know, I might have expected to fall fast asleep after my long trek through the woods, but somehow in that old castle I felt a new energy as I lay in the bed. My mind contemplated the particular path that had led me to this strange lodging. I pondered the scholarly owner, who most likely now remained in his study deep in thought about one esoteric idea or another. No one else seemed to be living in the castle except for the quiet servant. I must say that I felt a small attraction to this Spartan ideal of the scholar with his books sequestered alone to carry out some great work in science or philosophy. But then another thought came to me, and it shifted the focus of my rumination. What if this old man has a beautiful daughter? What if he's locked her here in this castle to keep her safe from the ardor of a man like myself? Immediately, I called to mind the hounds I had released in beginning this adventure. A flood of ideas began spinning around inside of me. I stopped and said to myself, "These thoughts are not proper. They are like a fairy tale romance. Yet I'm impotent to elevate them. Perhaps I'm meant to follow their lead, no matter how banal." So it was that my mind raced forward again to complete a tawdry tale for a lonely soul. I imagined that old scholar's daughter, that she was blonde, pale in color, with blue eyes and a slim stature, yet ample in all feminine proportions. Surely, I thought, she is now right there out in the hallway about to knock at the door. But again, I attempted to rein in these, how should I say, hackneyed nonsense ideas. It's time for me to sleep if tomorrow I am to continue my spiritual journey, my search for my soul. But wait, what is that I hear? Is it the sound of footsteps? Yes, I can feel there's a chill of the door. It's opened, and a breeze has come into the room. No. This is all in my imagination. This is just part of a fairy tale romance. I refused to accept the idea. I turned on my side, and I closed my eyes, determined to fall asleep. Then, as you know, the machinations of a mind, whether it's exploring sexual fantasies or the deepest spiritual yearning, our mind has an energy of its own, and the borders between madness and clear understanding are often crossed. So it was that night I raised myself up, and I opened my eyes. And at the foot of my bed there stood a vision of feminine beauty in the flickering candlelight. My mouth agape, I called out, "My God! Are you a ghost of one long dead or the figment of my sexual desire?" She answered in return, "You think me common, a character of pulp fiction that you read in a book from the lending library." I answered in turn, "I both do and I do not, but mostly, I believe that you are real and in some way part of my journey, my search for a soul." Again, she responded in an even voice, "Your words give me life. Remember, the fairy tale romance is the great mother of all human stories, and the wisdom you seek is as likely to be found in a hackneyed and banal story from everyday life as it is in the books of the scholar's library." As I pondered these words of this most uncommon vision, my eyes turned to the light of the candle. For a while, I sat there upright, mesmerized by the light. When I turned back to pursue the conversation with this feminine aspect of my soul, she was gone from the room. And so it was. So came the end of my first lesson in a primer for education of a mind in search of a soul.